welcome to this episode of the Action for Carers Surrey podcast. Today I'm here with Sarah. Hi Sarah.
Hi.
So today I'm here with Sarah to discuss her training as an emergency care support worker, and now she works for the ambulance service. I don't know, Sarah, if you can give kind of a brief overview as to how you got to today, you know, out of college, starting your degree and then going into the training you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So after finishing school, went straight to college, studied health and social care, sports science and applied science, and then went to uni to study occupational therapy. Was there for about a year, and it's absolutely amazing degree, an amazing profession, but just wasn't really for me. I got a little bit bored of it, and so I'll be honest, I'm not sure what compelled me to want to join the ambulance service. It was just a very random thought, and I thought, yeah, that's just what I'm gonna do. So I dropped out of uni, but I was obviously in like a lot of debt in that first year. Didn't really fancy going back to uni just to get myself into more debt. Also wasn't 100% sure if I'd want to be with the ambulance service. And so I was just looking on like the NHS jobs website, and something called an emergency care support worker apprenticeship appeared. So I applied for it, went through the interview process, blah, blah, blah. And it's literally just a 6-week training course. It's very kind of basic training. It's not your obviously in-depth paramedic science degree, but you are paid throughout all of the training, and then you go on to do your blue light driving course for 4 weeks, and then yeah, you're already employed with that trust, and you just kind of go out back onto the road and you're done. And then you're learning for a year. You have like little workbooks to complete for a year within the trust, and then you're qualified.
So now you work for the ambulance service full time, right?
Yeah, it's full time with South East Coast Ambulance Service, and it is different for every ambulance service. Not all of them offer apprenticeships. Some are actually starting to do paramedic apprenticeships. It kind of depends where you live, what you're doing.
So wondering if you could give a bit of a background as to why you're a carer and who you care for, and when did that start?
Yeah, so I care for my mum. She has multiple sclerosis. She's had that for probably kind of like 12 years now. Yeah, it's like 11, 12 years. So I'm 22 now, so however old I was, like 10, 11, when I started to care for her. It's been a massive challenge, obviously. As all young carers know, it's not ideal, and it's not something that people will ever understand until you're in that situation. But it definitely kind of changed who I was as a person, definitely shaped who I am today, and has led me on to do a very caring role. I've got a thing, I just want to look after everyone and make sure that everyone's okay. So whether that stems from care for my mum, I'm not entirely sure. But
yeah, I wonder why. I'm kind of specialising in healthcare now as a freelance designer. And I just, both as carers and kind of our teenage years and onward, why did we, you know, go into care more after that? You'd think that we'd done our caring bit and had to keep that on the side and wouldn't want to make that a day job as well.
Yeah, 100%. It's such an interesting concept. I really don't know. I don't know if it's just something like rewarding, like, you know, you're helping someone, you know, you're looking after someone. It's something that you know you're good at. You've had all the years of experience with it. Maybe it's just like a comfort thing. It's something that you just know.
But I think a lot of young carers do go on to study health and social care at college. That you did that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I don't even know why I did that, to be fair. It just sounded interesting to me. But I suppose it was just something that I felt like I would be good at, that I'd just settle into.
It's in the name, we're all caring people.
Yeah, that's literally it. Like, growing up, I would have been like, oh, you know, I want to be a vet or a pilot or something like that. I've got a thing about pilot, I really want to be a pilot. I'd be like that. And then out of nowhere, it was all of a sudden, I wanted to be a physio. Then it went on to being OT. And now all of a sudden, I'm in the ambulance service. So yeah, I was always going to do some healthcare based thing. I've worked in a care home for the elderly. It just seems to be where I slot in.
And so now, with working full time, how does that fit in with caring for your mum?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, definitely different. So it is shift work. So I will do my 12-hour shifts, generally 3 to 4 shifts per week, 2 days, and then 2 night shifts. Generally does have a tendency to change. Could be weekday, weekends, anything really. And coming from, you know, a family of people who are all like 9 to 5 workers, it was definitely weird to have a very messed up sleeping pattern and kind of not, it's almost like you feel like you're never at home. And then when you are at home, you're just asleep. So I felt very guilty in the fact that I felt kind of almost absent with my mum, where I'd spend so much time with her. Even if it wasn't caring, I'd just be sitting with her, just chatting, watching TV, whatever. All of a sudden I felt like I was just never seeing her. But I am very lucky that she has a care agency. She has carers come in like 4 times a day for personal care, like lunch, dinner, things like that. So I'm very lucky in that respect.
So does that take away kind of the worry for you when you're at work that she's okay at home?
Yeah, massively. The night shifts are always kind of the worry. I mean, generally, like, nothing will happen. She'll sleep through the night. But there's always the worry that if she's at home on her own, something goes wrong, you know, I'm not there. But the day shifts is definitely a comfort to know that I know that people are coming in and out throughout the day. It's massive support for me and for her. And I think it's much better for mum. She's not relying on me all the time. And it would be impossible if I was away all the time. I probably couldn't even do the job if I was there all the time. But mum's been supportive in telling me that I should do what I want to do.
I think maybe we should go back to the fact that you did the training rather than uni, and then why that was good for you. Because I think some people don't know, you know, some people expect they have to go off and do uni, whereas actually there are these other like options. So you said that you'd been 1 year through your degree, and then you decided to actually stop uni and go off and do this training. It sounds like that was a great fit for you, but how did you even find out about it?
My mum has this lady that comes to like sit with her every week. She knew that I wanted to be part of the emergency services, and I just had my eye on these NHS jobs. I'd applied for London, apprenticeship, blah, blah, blah. But you have to get a certain driving license, and I didn't have it in time, so I couldn't join them. But as she just happened, this lady, she was going through the high street, and she just happened to see this like careers stall thing. And there were just a few members of the ambulance service there advertising this apprenticeship. And she got that contact numbers for me. And when she saw me, she gave them over to me, and I just made the phone call to the correct people, and literally just got discussing that. And they told me that there was a vacancy, just going to the NHS jobs website. And I just applied for it.
And so it sounded like it was like much better option for you because you were learning on the job. Was that kind of the best bit about it?
Yeah, I think, if I'm honest, I think I did it more for like financial reasons.
Is that because you're not, you don't have to pay like a degree? Do you get paid to do it? How did that work?
Yeah, so the only thing, so when you apply, obviously it's different on different trusts, but with CCAM, the only thing I would have had to pay for was my C1 driver's license, and that will cost you like probably like £1,000, which I didn't have. And so they actually gave me like a loan, which I just pay back like monthly. It took probably like a year to pay it off, so like £50 a month I think they take. So that wasn't bad at all. That was the only thing I would have had to pay for.
And that's the blue light license, is it?
So the C1 allows you to drive vehicles larger vehicles. So that was all that was. And then that was a little bit stressful because you've got to do your theory, and as long as you can drive a car, then you're okay, really. And then, literally, as soon as you get onto the training course, you are paid throughout. I know apprenticeship wage is normally minimum wage, but for us, it was about, it's like 18 and a half a year, I think it was. And it has gone up slightly recently. So I think it's like probably on like 19,000. But on the training course, for an apprenticeship, it is paid very well. And then obviously when you're actually out on the road, you get a lot of benefits because you're doing it on social hours and your night shifts, you will get paid a lot more for that.
And all those trainings that you're learning on the job, is that equivalent of a degree?
What it is after you do that second apprenticeship, CCAM will send you to uni. It's normally either Royal Surrey or St George's. Send you to uni for 2 years. So instead of a 3-year degree, they feel like you don't need the first year because you've got enough experience. So we literally send you to uni for 2 years. And then when you come out of that, then you're a fully qualified paramedic.
Oh, I see. And are you going to go on to do those steps?
I would like to, yeah. It's kind of each to their own. I suppose I have chickened out a little bit. I could have applied for the next course. I just didn't. I think I'd like to give myself another year.
It's just interesting to know that there are other ways, you know, around getting into healthcare jobs that involves, 100%. You know, being in the job, being paid. So obviously money is then not such a stress as going to university and having a massive debt. But, you know, as you said, each their own. But it's really good to know there are those options out there.
I think it's difficult because if you know, you're like, I want to be a paramedic, like 100%, like it's what I want to do. 100%, like go to uni, that's fine. But for people who are kind of like umming and ahhing, you know, not sure, kind of like the job, ECSW is such a good route in to know if you enjoy it or not. You don't have all of the pressure that you have as a paramedic because you aren't expected to know as much. Obviously, you don't know as much. It's a nice little job, and we have lots of people that just come in as ECSWs and just stay as ECSWs because. They just enjoy the job. They don't want all the gore and the horrible, nasty bits that other people want. They just want a nice, easy life, but enjoy the ambulance services.
That's sort of a random one. But do you have a tip or a top tip for any people, carers specifically out there looking to go into healthcare work?
Oh, that's a difficult one. A top tip.
I know, that's a difficult question, sorry. Sprung it upon you.
No, don't apologise. The top tip to go into healthcare work, top tip would 100% be don't just settle for kind of what everyone else is doing. Definitely explore all of your options. There are so many different job roles out there, so many different ways in to certain careers that you just don't know about because it's just not common knowledge. So definitely, definitely explore.
So I think carers, especially young carers, need... You know, we have different needs to say other young people who can go straight off to uni or get a loan, and you know, there's different needs we have. So it sounded like you found a good balance of being able to be at home, but then learning on the job, getting out of the house as well, not having to have such a big debt.
No, exactly. Yeah, it was a lot different. So just kind of like packing up and just moving to another uni again. It was much nicer to be at home and. But yeah, it's literally just what you are able to do. But ECSW, I definitely recommend it. It's just a very rewarding job. I'm very lucky to have it. I've been very lucky to stay employed throughout COVID. That's been joyous. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.